Welcome to your Aged Care Compass podcast. We help you make sense of the Australian aged care system by having conversations about topics you've asked us about. We're joined by thought leaders, professional experts, and people just like you and I who talk about their experience in the aged care sector. Welcome to today's episode, everybody. I'm delighted to be introducing Wendy Hall as my guest today. Wendy is the Managing Director and founder of Dementia Doulas International and the Dementia Doula Role. She is the author of Dementia Can't Take Everything, The Dementia Doula, Beyond the Darkness of Dementia, and Which Way Is Up? Wendy is also the founder and executive director of the charity Dementia Doulas Australia, which aims to support families from a compassionate care perspective, from pre-diagnosis through to the time of bereavement. Wendy's role in the development of training and mentoring for emerging dementia doulas has been evolving over many years and brings together her areas of passion to better serve those she represents. Her interactive approach challenges mindsets and encourages those supporting someone or working within the area of dementia to explore a different way of thinking. Wendy's goal is to shift preconceived ideas about existing barriers to dementia care and influence the end-of-life space for families, ensuring that no one goes it alone. Wendy, I'm really looking forward to discussing this wonderful role, the dementia doula, with you. But before we get to that, tell us about you and your previous roles as a nurse and a paramedic, and how you came to be the founder of an international movement to support people through their journey with dementia.
Well, firstly, thank you for having me. It's really lovely to be talking about all things dementia doula. My history goes back quite a few years. As you said, I was a registered nurse and an on-road paramedic for many years, a long time ago. And I didn't realise how much that was sort of preparing me for this space. It was about 20 years ago that I started to kind of think, what's next for me? I was starting to feel a little bit like I want to start doing something a bit proactive rather than going to everyone's emergencies. And so it was time to look for something different. I didn't know what that was going to look like. And an opportunity came up in a community-based dementia type role, of which I thought to myself, wow, I'll be really good for a role like that. I enjoy working with people with dementia and their families, and I'm so knowledgeable from a clinical perspective about dementia. And I stepped into this role, which I kind of thought, oh, I'm pretty sure I can do it. And I was brought down to earth very quickly, and I realized I actually knew very little about dementia. And it made me reflect on the people that I worked with, the amazing colleagues that I worked with and had worked with over many years. And I realized that we were just really good at winging dementia care, that those that were really good at what they were doing were working more intuitively and instinctively rather than anything that we had learned through any formalized training courses, because at that point in time, they just didn't exist. Mm-hmm. So dementia training way back then was very much about the brain and how dementia manifests from a physiological perspective, which, as we know, is not very useful in the day-to-day supporting someone with very high needs as far as the complexities of dementia. So I was on a very new path of learning, and I was fortunate to be working with people who were newly diagnosed, and I'd never actually had an in-depth conversation with someone with dementia before because I was so used to working with people in the latter stages. So my insights and my learning just went off on a whole new trajectory. And I discovered that there were families who were very underrepresented and that they had no voice, and that I had a very loud voice, and that perhaps I could use it for good rather than for evil. So that was the path that I started on. And that really influenced, I think, where I wanted to head and the messaging. I wanted to help move dementia away from the clinical side of things and move it more into something where families were better represented and their needs as a whole, not singling out the person with a diagnosis and the rest of the family, but how could we better support the family unit?
Hooray. I am silently applauding you here, Wendy. This is going to be a fabulous conversation. unpacking the role of the dementia doula, something that I feel passionately about as well, having always had an orientation towards end of life and a good death and cognitive impairment being dementia. So let's jump in. What is a dementia doula?
It was an interesting path that I found myself on. I think it was probably 10 years of education and training and really strongly advocating for families impacted by dementia. When I started to feel a bit jaded, like many of us within the system have felt over the years, I kind of felt like, I was building staff up and making them feel like they could make a real difference in this space. And then, of course, the system just kind of tore them back down. And the reality check was there was no time or resources to do what was regarded as the kind of the fluffy stuff, the nice to have stuff, if there's time. And of course, there's never time. The stuff that actually has a lot of meaning for families and, of course, the person themselves. So I kind of got past my self-indulgent moment where I thought, I'm perhaps going to leave the sector, as many of our amazing colleagues do. Then I thought maybe I should just give things one more shot. Maybe I need to just try and come at the change I want to influence from just one more direction, a different perspective. And if that doesn't work, then I need to bow out gracefully and say, I tried. I researched for many years or a few years as to what that might look like. Another training program was just not going to be enough because staff already in the sector don't have time to do what they're already doing. So I had to work out what my pain point was, what was really, I guess, upsetting me most. And what it came back to every single time was that I still say this to this day, that people with dementia are dying alone, surrounded by a lot of people. And that was my starting point. And that had to be where I kind of focused the change that I wanted to be a part of. I reflected back to my paramedic days where I would pick someone up at 2 o'clock in the morning to take them to hospital when they were actively dying and no one had identified that. So I thought maybe we need a new role that kind of really supports families and staff as a secondary kind of line of what we were wanting to achieve. So about 5 years of research and talking to family members and staff and people, you know, carers past and present, and the dementia doula role was born. So it seemed a really good fit for what I was looking for.
Absolutely. That comment that you just made about people with dementia dying alone, surrounded by a lot of people, really hurts my heart because I've seen that as well. So how has the community reacted to the introduction of this role, Wendy?
It was really interesting. Developing certainly Dementia Doulas International, which was always going to be about training and supporting dementia doulas in their practice, I knew that if I created this role and did it for myself and for some of my colleagues, that we would book up really quickly based on the feedback I was getting from family carers that I'd previously connected with. Many shed a tear when I pitched the idea at them, saying that they really wished that the concept was around when they were supporting a loved one. So I honestly thought, because it was a whole new concept, certainly it was based on the end-of-life doula role, but the trajectory for us is so much longer that we're supporting families for 10-plus years, and they are often the drivers of what end-of-life care is going to look like. Yep. So I absolutely, hand on heart, thought the first few years was going to be about knocking on doors and trying to convince people of the need for a new role, firstly, and that there was actually a gap that we fitted seamlessly into. And I have to say, those doors actually opened before I could even knock on them. So that was a big shock for me, that people were ready for something. They wanted their someone, and they were desperately seeking for their someone. So before we'd really even launched and started training up dementia doulas, I had families connecting with me with no marketing at all, saying, I need a dementia doula, we need a dementia doula. And that was without even letting people know what we were even doing. So that was really heartbreaking as well, to see how long, and really, you know, acknowledge that families have just been going it alone for forever, really.
Exactly. Yeah. So look, Wendy, a dementia doula, as you've just said, can be involved with the person with dementia at diagnosis,
Yes.
Right through to their end of life.
Yes.
If it's possible to answer this, when is it that most people contact a dementia doula? Shortly after diagnosis, at end of life, both, somewhere in between? When would it be?
It can be any time. And I think it comes back to when people hear about us and where they are on the trajectory. So for me, I thought that starting at end of life was going to be our natural starting point and that we would work our way back to the pre or post-diagnosis kind of stage. I thought that was going to be our time, that we were going to have to really prove why we sat in that space, because there are so many service providers already there that are doing, you know, amazing work. But it was interesting that from the beginning, we got pulled to the beginning of people who were newly diagnosed or families that were just trying to navigate and find their starting point. Because I think so many service providers are out there, but they are actually four different times, even in the early stages. So obviously we have our major helplines that are out there, but people were wanting their person, just someone to help slow everything down and make sense of what was going on. And they weren't necessarily ready to dive into utilizing services or trying to work out what was going on. They just wanted to work out what this diagnosis was going to mean for them as a family.
Absolutely, yeah. So in the early stages, say shortly after a person is diagnosed with a dementia, how would a dementia doula support them and their family?
So again, we do not try or pretend to be everything to everybody. We want to be that safe space for families that we're always in the background. So I've had clients where I haven't met with a family. It's been 2.5 years since I've kind of had any connection with them. So they know that when, you know, things get a bit wobbly or they've got a few questions, that, you know, that they can just call me and I can kind of step in and just work out what is there, what's next, where are they heading next. So in those early days, I often find that our role, because again, there's a lot of good services out there, but it doesn't mean families can easily find them or tap into them, particularly because they are in a heightened state of stress. Things are moving very fast. So the gift that we bring to families right at the beginning is to slow everything down. We slow everything down so that families can just take a breath and try and take in the enormity of what's actually happening for their family. And what I always say, particularly in our training programs to our dementia doulas, is that I always think of that when I'm sending a family member to a service or recommending a service provider, often I'm recommending a person in that service. Mm-hmm. I want to know that the services that are receiving our families are going to give them the same kind of welcome mat that we do, that where they're going to make them feel like we make them feel. And we don't just send our family, we don't say, oh, try this number, that's where you need to head next. We always send our families with, I always have this picture of an imaginary bungee cord, so that when their needs are met, they kind of bungee back to us. They come back to us, not necessarily to connect, but they know that, okay, my need is met, we're okay for now, and Wendy's still there in the background for whenever I need her next. So we don't just handball people and then say, see you later, good luck, which is what many of us have had to do in previous roles, just purely based on funding and the nature of the programs we were working in.
Community pharmacies keep Australia healthy. With 6,000 locations nationwide, they're open early, late, and longer for convenient, accessible, and safe care. Pharmacists provide home medicine reviews, dose administration aids, and essential vaccinations. Thanks to additional training, many can now treat common conditions like ear infections, wounds, and skin issues. They also support management of chronic conditions in partnership with your healthcare team. Ask your pharmacist how they can help you and your family stay well.
Exactly. I completely agree with you. It's actually how I approach the work that I do as well. And it's so reassuring. It's kind of like that lifeline where people get to that point, you know, aged care navigation, oh gosh, I'm at a loss again. It's time for me to reconnect with Coral. So I completely understand how you've described that, and it's so important.
Yeah, definitely. We just got to really look after our families. And
absolutely.
And just on that as well, that if we connect with someone in a particular service and they move, I'm more likely to follow that person because I just know that they're our person.
They're your person. I know you have that connection. Yeah. Mm. Wendy, at the end of life, what support does a dementia doula provide? And how does that support differ from an end-of-life doula?
There are similarities, hence why the name doula was just the perfect fit. Right at the end of life or in the last 6 to 12 months, there was certainly a synergy there. So what we're doing is we're trying to prepare families for a more active presence in that space. So some of the key differences are that we're going to start that conversation with families, again, up to 10 years before end of life actually is a topic that needs to be discussed. The uniqueness with what we're doing as well is that certainly with an end of life doula, primarily you are working with the person who is in the final stages of life themselves. So you're still able to connect with them. You're still able to hear what their wants. You are able to represent them firsthand. For us, we're more likely to be working with families because the person themselves is no longer able to advocate for themselves. That's why we want to get in really early so that we can hopefully connect with the person with dementia themselves while they're still able to clearly articulate what their needs and wants are for end of life. If we're able to do that, end of life for us is about bringing out what we've discussed over the last 5 to 10 years and making sure that the person is as best represented as possible. Also that families are prepared because, again, I go back to my clinical time where often I would be transporting someone to hospital as a paramedic that was actively dying purely because, firstly, no one recognised what was going on and a call was potentially made to the family to say, your mum, for example, is quite agitated. She's quite restless. We don't know what's going on with her. So we think she needs to go to hospital. What do you think? And of course, families are going to want the best of care for their parent. So they're going to say, yeah, if you think they need to go to hospital, then let's do that. So we just offer probably different options or tangents for families to make informed decisions well in advance so that those hard conversations are not happening at a time where there is heightened emotion and some really quick decisions have to be made and reviewing of advanced care plans, if they do exist, often there's not time to be reviewing what the person actually did want. So again, it comes back to us slowing that time down and making sure families not just are prepared for that time, but the families that I've been really privileged to work with, often they will say to me, and the last family I worked with in this regard, they contacted me and said that their father, who they really loved the care home he was in, they loved the staff, they loved everything about his care. They had a really good relationship with the GP and they said to me, everyone's been really clear about where we're heading. They've actually talked through end of life and we feel really comfortable with what they're saying and what their plan is, but we don't know what we're meant to do. Like, what are we meant to do in amongst all that? And it was so good to have that scenario that they weren't saying we need to know what to do because the system is broken. They were actually having a really positive experience and still knew that there was a role for them to play as individuals in supporting a good death for their father.
You've literally taken words out of my mouth that I talk about all the time, a good death, which I feel so strongly about. And it speaks to a bigger conversation that we need to have that obviously we're not going to have it today and it'll probably have to hold over to next year. But being comfortable with end of life and being comfortable with death and understanding that, and that all comes together as a good death. That's what a good death looks like. So I'm really glad that you raised that because although we won't talk about it today, we will definitely be picking up this conversation next year. So who trains a dementia doula?
We do. We offer a really comprehensive program through Dementia Doulas International. That's our training organisation. And then we have our membership community because we don't want to leave our dementia doulas hanging. Some work organisationally already. Others will go on to start their own business, or maybe they already have a business, say, as a counsellor, and they want to add dementia doula to their suite of specialisation. So it was important that under the banner of Dementia Doulas International that we not only had our quite intensive training program, but also a membership community where we could help support ongoing personal and professional development for our dementia doulas that are out there doing just such amazing work. And of course, all our training is based on latest research. And what was interesting about the training program when we first developed it quite a few years ago now was it was very much focused on how we could better support families. Over the years, we have had to change things a little bit because we didn't realize we had to actually incorporate elements that were really important to the dementia doula themselves. Often we're attracting amazing individuals who care. And unfortunately, when you are a caring person, as you know, sometimes there's not an off switch. Sometimes it's hard to say no because everybody needs you. And the guilt that we feel when we can't be there for people is just so huge that we show up anyway. So we incorporate a lot of how we look after ourselves and protect our own boundaries. And we, as a community, we get to remind ourselves of those boundaries so that we're there for the long haul and that families get the best of us, not kind of what's left.
Yeah, fantastic. And how do people find a dementia doula practitioner? Is there a national database of practitioners?
So not yet. What has just organically happened over the years is that somehow families are out there and they kind of come through the Dementia Doulas International website. So we find that's really been the way at this point in time. We will certainly move towards a register as we get more and more dementia doulas out there that are practicing independently, because of course they need to be accessible to families. So what currently happens is part of our membership community is that any referrals that come through Dementia Doulas International, we forward on through our membership community. We obviously start with location if someone is in that particular area, or if there is a specialty area that's connected with a particular family, then we will connect them with a dementia doula that has that specific background as well. With our charity, Dementia Doulas Australia, we're noticing that we're getting inquiries come through there as well, looking for a dementia doula. So it's kind of like people are just determined to find care. So we will certainly move towards a register at some time in the future, but at the moment people can just find us through either organisation.
And we'll have those links in the show notes of this episode as well. So can the support that a dementia doula provides be offered via a telehealth consultation, Wendy?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the other reasons while our numbers were quite low, again, historically, we're certainly building up our numbers in Australia now. But because telehealth is absolutely an option, we didn't want people to feel like, oh, there's no one in my immediate area, so I can't access one. So a lot of our dementia doulas are accessible and set up to be able to meet with families online. And that's even more relevant when, say, for example, you have a parent with dementia and the family member that wants to actively be involved is actually in a different state. So, yeah, we want to make sure that we can link up to people. And apparently I've heard from some of our dementia doulas that I wasn't part of this, but they had initiated a three-way online conversation with a family because these three dementia doulas came with, one had was locality, one was home care provider, so they had some additional resources they could add. And then in another state, we had a dementia doula that was a counsellor. So one of those dementia doulas brought the three of them together to best support one specific family. So we're very resourceful.
You absolutely are. It makes it, I have a similar model and I've said right from the get-go that no older person should be disadvantaged because of their postcode, that location lottery. And when I'm doing a consult, I will often have three or four, I've actually had five siblings on a telehealth consultation with me, and it just makes such a difference. Everybody gets the opportunity to say how they feel, say what they think, We have a discussion. I can moderate that discussion. And at the end of that consultation, everybody actually agrees on the plan. I'm not saying that they all are entirely comfortable with it, but we've threshed out the pros and cons in the kind of work that I do and the plans that we prescribe for our clients. I just think it just makes such a difference, really, to the family caregivers, because there's no uncertainty, there's no confusion, and they actually all feel well supported. And respected.
Almost definitely. And we find that's exactly how things play out for us. And if we can get in early enough, we get to really explore what those individuals, what role they actually want to play, not the role they feel they should be playing, because we know that statistically a lot of those family members are not going to be there still at the end because of their own, the grief, the loss, the no one there to support them. So it's really important for us to work out why a family member is there and how actively or stand back they want to actually be. We just want them to still be there as a family unit at the end.
Absolutely. So I know you've been doing a lot of work highlighting this role with both community and residential aged care providers. How has the aged care sector responded to incorporating the role of a dementia doula within service provision?
Yeah, so that's a good question, because we know that moving forward, the role needs to be embedded in both. What's really interesting is that we have had some home care providers that have had us come in and train up some of their key staff as dementia doulas, and that's been really a really important part of their service delivery model. Hire care has been more challenging, and it's not to say we haven't had the interest. I think there's just been a little bit more red tape to have to get through. So we kind of find those key managers that are really keen and can see the vision. But having said that, we are in talks with a couple of organisations currently that are exploring actually having the role included in their staffing model. It's always interesting to note, though, that a lot of our dementia doulas are working in higher care and have done the program. So they're almost like little cells that are ready to pop up as soon as their organisation announces that they are actually recognising the role in their staffing model. I think there'll be a lot that won't realise they've actually already got some dementia doulas ready to go. But yeah, we're really excited with some conversations that are happening presently. So we can't wait to hopefully announce that we've got our very first higher care provider here in Australia with dementia doulas actively as part of their staffing model. So stay tuned.
Awesome. Awesome. I'm so excited for you. That's just so exciting to hear.
Yeah.
Wendy, thank you very much for the pioneering work that you're doing in this space of supporting people with dementia and their families. Listeners, if you'd like to know more about dementia doulas, we have the links in the show notes, as well as the links to Wendy's social profiles. Congratulations on your outstanding work and for the courage and tenacity it takes to design and implement such an innovative service, Wendy. And thank you for joining me on the show today.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode. Do you have a topic that you'd like us to cover on an episode? Please reach out and let us know via social media or our website. cmeacn.com.au. That's cmeacn.com.au. All the links are in the show notes. And don't forget to hit the follow or subscribe button so you don't miss any of our upcoming episodes.